Anyway, here we are, Friday Night History Season 3, and we're starting our journey in Meiji-era Istanbul, circa 1871. Wait, what? Friday Night History 67, Season 3, Episode 1, Honorable Beggars. Hagop Aronyan, 1843-1891, was an Armenian author, playwright, journalist, and educator of the 19th century. He was originally from the city of Adrianople, what today is called Edirne, in Thrace. He was very well educated for his time, and spoke many languages, including English. He educated some of his era's foremost figures in Armenian literature, including Bedros Turian, a poet famed for his fiery verse. Baronyan remains beloved for his satire, and was an early influence on my own work. Ask an Armenian to name the leading satirists our people have ever produced, and chances are they'll name Hagop Baronyan, the roughly contemporary Yervant Odian, 1869-1926, and maybe also Nishant Beşiktaşlıyan, who lived 1898-1972. Baronyan was brave, even brazen, as a critic of the rich and powerful of his time, and they made him pay for it. The story I grew up with was that Hagop Baronyan was so impoverished by the time he died of tuberculosis in 1891 that he only had an onion to his name. Harsh. But that being said, his work, his criticism of the powerful, his influence on Armenian political and social satire, is a monument that has lasted far beyond his now lost grave somewhere in Istanbul. In some of his works, he calls out these affluent Istanbul Armenians by name. But in others, he speaks in slightly more fictionalized but no less pointed language. And one of his preeminent works along these lines is the 1887 book Mezabadiv Muratskaner, Honorable Beggars. It begins a little something like this. Quote, in 1870, I can't remember what year, on September 31st, sorry, I was going to say 30th, September only has 30 days, a fat man of middling height in a tall, broad overcoat had newly emerged from the steamer from Trebizond. Standing on the docks at Galata, he tried to pull his trunks out of a rowboat. You see how simply I started? I didn't say, in the interest of making my story more interesting and selling a few hundred more copies of it, that on the same day there was a fierce wind, a heavy rain, a curious mob of people rushing to the Galata Square, or that the police had arrested a girl, etc. These are the things that novelists always start their stories with. I could have said all of this, but I didn't, because that day there was neither a fierce wind, nor a heavy rain, nor a curious mob, nor an arrested girl. Thus, please believe my story, which is a contemporary happening. Unquote. Quite the beginning, isn't it? On the surface, Honorable Beggars is about a rich Armenian man from the city of Trebizond, who bore the honorific Aga, his name was Apisorum Aga, who has come to Istanbul to seek out a wife. To give you a sense of geography, Trebizond is on the Black Sea coast some distance away. Some of my own kinfolk come from that part of what used to be the empire. But from the moment he arrives in the then capital of the empire, Apisorum Aga is beset by one person after another who is in desperate need of funding for their work. We see everyone from porters to poets to photographers to lawyers to newspaper editors all make the rounds of visiting him and beseeching him for a contribution of even the most modest sum. It goes on like this without end. For the length of the story, until the man flees Istanbul entirely by the end. Baronyan is a fixture in Armenian literature and popular culture to this day, and many in the diaspora especially are familiar with Apisorum Aga and the general, broader strokes of his story in Honorable Beggars. Some, and I was one of them, just think it's a funny story about a guy who people are trying to take advantage of. I even performed a one-woman show many years ago now, where I did passages from Honorable Beggars on stage. But if you understand a little bit about Baronyan and his era, and if you consider where people who work in the humanities are today, it's not nearly so simplistic as being just a funny ha-ha story for laughs. It's illustrating the extremes to which people have to go in order to fund their livelihoods as authors, poets, and other creatives. in the face of a system that's stacked against them. It isn't that they're entirely without blame, but rather it's clearly the result of things that have reduced them to this state of having to think where they can get every little bit of income possible in order to do the things that are ultimately also necessary for a society to function. They may in effect be beggars, but they are honorable beggars. Reading it as an Armenian who's a scholar of Japan in this era, I think of the roughly contemporary warriors from Sendai, Aizu, and other northern Japanese domains. Many of these people, whose actual professions were everything from physician to literary scholar to engineer, and all of them were reduced, despite any importance of their work, to shaving bark off trees and stealing horse feed. Meanwhile, the new elite in Tokyo prospered and ate well and even enshrined these starving people's suffering into early Meiji law. Baronyan, who again was himself constantly short of money to the point that he died penniless and homeless, concludes the book thusly, spelling it out in very blunt terms. Quote, "And we, who have never been introduced to Apisorum Ara, publish this work, not so much to blame our people's newspaper publishers, authors, poets, and so on, as much as to present to future generations the lamentable state of people in the literary arts and the stunning indifference of our people's upper class to their plight." Unquote. It's a little heartbreaking to think of how little has changed since then. Yes, there is still Armenian literature in the world, in Armenian and in other languages, but it is still undervalued by the community and especially by the community's leaders. Not only that, but it is heartbreaking to think that within 4 years of Baronyan's death, the Ottoman Empire would enact one genocide during the reign of Abdulhamid II, only to do it again another 20 years later on a far larger scale. And as I write this, Azerbaijan is again enacting a new chapter of genocide against us, and nobody seems to care. Stunning indifference indeed, then, from within and from without. But I take comfort in the fact that I, a 21st century Armenian in roughly the same line of work as Baronyan, am doing my best to make it work despite all the obstacles I necessarily must confront. I too am constantly short of a livable income, and I'm constantly trying to promote my work and attract new patronage, and I'm all but certain that I will never again hold a full-time traditional job. But I'm writing the words and doing the work anyway, and I'm still here. And I think at least in that much, Baronyan has been vindicated. As long as one of us is still here to tell the story, to say the words, to speak the truth to power, then we will live on. Or, as another Armenian author in the U.S. put it about half a century after Baronyan, "Go ahead. See if you can do anything about it. See if you can stop them from mocking the big ideas of the world. You sons of bitches. A couple of Armenians talking in the world. Go ahead and try to destroy them." And with that, I will see you next week. I'm Nairi, and this has been Friday Night History. Now, questions? Friday Night History is a historical romp with me, your favorite history dyke, Dr. Nairi A. Bakalyan. Our theme is O Hayashi from Paratune, licensed under CC 4.0. This podcast is brought to you by my Patreon patrons, so thank you to Sorcha, Catherine, Emily, Eric, Jan, Bob, Ryan, Sean, Ennis, Faith, JD, Kaz, Rita, Dinsdale, ALC, AO65, Amy, Daphne, Dr. Yakumo, Lemur, Gnarl, Irene, Jesse, Catherine, Katie, Laura, Maeve, Mark, Nora, Sinan, Aura, Bewick, Charlene, Charles, Danny, Deborah, Emily D, Emily R, Julie, Gabe, Jacob, Jax, Jocelyn, Kathy, Kim, Mary, Phoebe, Phoebe Z, Relia, Rary, Lisa, Susan, Tora, Zandra, Allison, Amy, Andrick, Bruce, Charlotte, Colin, Flitterkit, Jack, Kelly, Lane, Natalie, Fuong, Planes, Sam, Samantha, Vera, Ines, and Zoe. I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you so much, and remember, who you are and what lights your fire is worth fighting for. North Star forever. I'll see you around.